holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. We'll leave the reading of his word just there. Let's bow again in prayer and ask the Lord's help. Our gracious God, we pray that thou wast draw nigh to us as we consider the scriptures this night once again. And we pray, Lord, that thou wast encourage us in the way, and that thou wast help us as we read the scriptures ourselves to see those many things which are encouragements to us and instructions also and blessings. And Lord, we pray that thou wast increase our joy in the Lord. Bless us then, we ask thee, and continue with us this evening. And we ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. These three portions of scripture have something in common. One section in each one, or one verse in each one, has something which agrees or at least fits together with something in another. Has anybody picked up something which is on all three? No? I thought you probably wouldn't. Well, I want to think about shoes this evening. Those three verses, first of all, Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And here in Exodus 3 and verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Shoes, we all wear them, of course, and very important they are to us. And there are all kinds of different kinds of shoes, aren't there? I saw a joke about shoes on the internet, and there was a list of shoes down one side, and they were the ladies' shoes. And so there were work shoes, there were eating out shoes, there were sports shoes, and I can't remember what all the other shoes were, but then there were about six different kinds of shoes, all for different kinds of things. And on the other side was a man's side, and it was a pair of trainers for all of those things, because why do you need other shoes apart from the one pair? But shoes, of course, are important, and we do wear shoes for different things. Sometimes in particular lines of work, special shoes are needed. Ones with steel toe caps, perhaps. Ones with rubber soles in other circumstances. Shoes for running, obviously. There are special shoes for playing golf. Special shoes for playing football. Different kinds of shoes for different sports. And so shoes are used an awful lot. They say that one of the reasons that the Roman army was such a mighty army was that they wore shoes, and they wore shoes with nails in them so that they could traverse difficult land and without hurting themselves. The scripture also speaks about shoes, doesn't it? Remember, the children of Israel went through the wilderness, and they were there for 40 years, and their shoes did not wear out, and God had shod them for that amount of time. So shoes do appear in the scripture, and I was thinking about shoes and what we might say about them. Well, first of all, here we have the shoes of separation, because the Lord says, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Put off thy shoes. Why? Is the question which we might ask. Why put off your shoes? What difference does it make? Surely God looks upon the heart, not upon the outward appearance. If someone has shoes on or doesn't have shoes on, does it make a difference? Why was Moses to put his shoes from off his feet? Because the ground upon which he stood was holy. Well, we can say one thing about shoes is that shoes are a man-made support. It is a support for us which we make ourselves. We weren't born with shoes. God has not created shoes, but we wear shoes to protect our feet, and it is our own protection. And so we sort of think of then of this removal of the man-made support. We are treading, as Moses was, upon holy ground. We are resting upon the Lord and the Lord only. There's nothing between us and him. We have this fellowship with him. And very often in this life, we rest upon the support of men. And even within the church, we can come in with the church, and there are people, of course, who get offended in churches, and they say, well, we're not going back to church again. Why? Because they weren't trusting in the Lord. They were trusting in the people. And people let us down. People constantly let us down. We should never put people on any kind of a pedestal. Doesn't matter who the person is, because men fail. And we only have to read the scriptures from cover to cover to see that pretty much every man who is mentioned in the scripture fails, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some, of course, which there is very little written about them. But if there's any kind of a detail given to a person's life, you will find failure in it. Even the greatest of men, even men like Elijah, who stood against the prophets of Baal and then heard the rumor of Jezebel and fled for his life, as if God couldn't protect him. And the Lord says to him when he comes into that mountain, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now we think of David, that mighty man who is spoken of in the scripture as being a man after God's own heart. And yet, did he not fail? And did he not commit great sins against the Lord? So when we think about the man-made support, let's be careful in our lives not to be trusting in men, but trusting in God directly. That our communion is with the Lord. That we don't come to him through the church or through priests or vicars or pastors or anything else, but that we have a personal walk with the Lord. That is very important. And that's exactly what was here. It is Moses who is drawn. Moses, Moses. And then draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. There is this intimate communion with God. We need an intimate communion with God. It needs to be your communion with God. It needs to be your fellowship with the Lord. And never let anything come between the Lord and yourself. So a removal of man-made support, first of all. And then also, of course, the removal of man-made safety. Many shoes are for safety. We wear shoes most of the time because of a matter of safety in the fact that we can walk on little sharp stones and they hurt. And anybody who's been to a beach and taken their shoes off and gone down to the sea will know that stones hurt. And so we wear shoes, protect our feet. And it is an important thing to have shoes on in many, many situations. Our feet can be cut, our feet can be damaged because we don't have any kinds of shoes. Of course, there are places in the world where people don't have shoes, but they are subject to those problems. But it's a man-made safety then. It's a safety net of men. And again, so often we rely on men. And it's not a bad thing to rely on men, but don't let it only be a reliance upon men. Let's rely upon the Lord. Let's trust upon him. This removal of man-made safety. Now, here he is, and he's standing in the presence of God. And we read of Moses here, how that Moses was afraid. He was afraid to look upon God. There in verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And yet he had this close communion with the Lord. And indeed, a wonderful thing. Later on, we find in Moses' life that the Lord says to others who wish to take the place of Moses, or at least have the same standing as Moses, God said, well, there are prophets and there are seers in this world, and if I speak to them, I speak to them through dreams, or I speak to them through visions. But with Moses, I speak to him face to face. So Moses has this really close communion with the Lord. And yet, still, here, it needs to be this removal of a man-made safety. We need to draw near to the Lord. And sometimes we're afraid to draw near to the Lord. Sin can cause us to be afraid to draw near to the Lord. But it's in those very times when we are afraid to draw near to the Lord that we need to draw near to the Lord. It is then that we need to speak to the Lord. It is then that we really need him to speak to us. So get out of the safety net and approach the Lord. Get out of the place where you are afraid of what men may say, and go and see the Lord, to see what the Lord says. And then also a removal, I have called this, of man-made superiority. Man-made superiority. Why? Well, it's a man-made superiority, first of all, over creation, because the road, the ground, the dangers, the rocks, the thorns, and so on, which can pierce our feet, we can walk through them if we have the right footwear on. We can wear Wellington boots through the mud, and through the dirt and through the grime. We can wear boots up to our chests in waders if we want to wade into rivers. We have the power to overcome all kinds of things, and it's represented in some ways through the footwear that we wear. Even the heavy objects that we might drop upon our feet, as we have said, we can have steel toe caps for that situation. We can have weighted boots so to sink to the bottom of the ocean in a diving suit, so that we can look at those things there. We overcome so many different situations, and that man-made superiority. But when we stand in the presence of God, we have no superiority. We are his servants. We are his bondslaves. We are his creation. And God has given us a superiority over creation, but Moses now is in the presence of the Creator. And when he's in the Lord's presence, he is to put his shoes off from his feet. And again, we could say the man-made superiority over crises. There are many crises in our lives. There are all kinds of troubles and difficulties. And although shoes themselves may not help us to overcome crises, yet that thought, you know, of trusting in something and saying that we can overcome, we can walk over these problems and these troubles, we will carry on. And that is a kind of a way that people do speak, that we will get through this, that we will travel through this. Our walk will not be affected, and we will overcome. And we can walk through the problems and troubles of life. But we are to put off our shoes, off our feet, and we are to trust in the Lord. And he will lead us, and he will guide us. That very thought really is taken up in this chapter, because here we find that the Lord that Moses says to the Lord in verse 11, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." So that very theme is here, isn't it, of man trusting in himself. Moses is trusting in himself. We trust upon those things which are our support. We trust upon those things which we have built around us for our safety. We trust in our own superiority over situations. But now Moses is saying, "But I can't do this." And the Lord says, "Well, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm going to be with you. Trust in me. Put off the shoes from off your feet. Trust in me." And yet Moses continues, and then the Lord brings Aaron there, and Aaron is going to be the voice for Moses in that situation. But we need to trust in the Lord. We need to put off our shoes. We need to put off our trust in other things and trust only in the Lord. The second of these verses then is Deuteronomy chapter 33. Chapter 33, and it is the blessing of the Lord upon Asher. Now, some of these blessings may have a particular significance, but in general, we can say that here is a blessing upon all of Israel. And perhaps the lesson here, apart from one or two of these, the lesson is that God doesn't forget anybody. Everybody is included. And the blessings are throughout the tribes. Every tribe is blessed. But they are blessed in very similar ways. But the Lord doesn't leave anybody out. And all of God's people have the blessing of the Lord upon them. When we see this of Asher in verse 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. So here we have this strength once again, but this time it is the strength of a blessing. Now the shoes are they which the Lord is going to give. And these shoes are shoes of iron and brass. The Lord exceeds any shoes that we can make for ourselves. They are the shoes of strength, the shoes of strength. And the Lord renews our strength. You see, when we take off our shoes and we enter into the presence of the Lord, as Moses did, then the Lord shoes us with the shoes of his presence, the shoes of his power, the shoes of his strength. And here the blessing here upon Asher is that they be blessed with children, be acceptable to his brethren, dip his foot in oil, shoes of iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, we think about Moses once again, going back to what the Lord was calling Moses to there. And Moses was to go into the children of Israel and bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and the children of the Lord. We read later, I think it's in Micah, where the Lord says, out of Egypt have I called my son. And he's speaking there of the nation of Israel. That's the reference which is given. And so here it is, the children are being brought out. Let Asher be blessed with children. And hasn't the Lord said the same thing to us? If we're Christians, the Lord has called us to go and preach the gospel, that there might be an offspring. The Apostle Paul uses that terminology, doesn't he, in the New Testament. He calls Timothy, for instance, his son Timothy. He's not his biological son, but he's a son in the faith. And so often the apostle uses that terminology of the different churches. They are his children. He has begotten them with the gospel. And we are called to the same thing, that we should beget sons through the gospel, sons and daughters, that we should tell them of the gospel, that they might be born again by the power of God. The Spirit of God resides in us, and salvation comes by the Spirit of God. And so there is a unity, there is a communion, there is a fellowship, there is a familial connection between all the children of the Lord and those new children of the Lord. They're all coming into that family with one Holy Spirit, with one blood which is shed for them, and one salvation through Jesus Christ. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Well, that, of course, speaks of communion, doesn't it, and the fellowship. That we should be in fellowship one with another. There should be a communion amongst us. That we should rejoice in each other's presence. And joy together. And strengthen one another. And hear that he might be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Probably here the reference is to the olive trees of the land. And of squeezing out the olive oil. And being able to tread it to bring forth the oil. It's a thought of abundance. But then oil also is that anointing oil. And who is anointed with oil? Well, we are all anointed by the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus, of course, was anointed in his feet. The alabaster box of ointment was broken. The oil was poured upon his feet. And a woman came in as well and poured oil upon his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And here is the highest of blessings. But the Lord blesses us. Doesn't he? And remember how that the disciples were gathered together in that upper room, and Jesus took a towel and wrapped it around himself and went and washed their feet. The Lord is with us. He cleanses us and he blesses us with such an abundance. And thy shoes shall be iron and brass, because we are to overcome, because we will be victorious. This word shoes is a word which occurs, I believe, I can't quite remember what I read of that now, and I didn't actually double check it, so I like to double check my facts before I said them, but I believe it only comes here in Scripture. And so it's a translation which is difficult to verify, but it's translated that way here, and it's understood that way by Israel. But it can also be translated, and is translated in other places, bars. Thy bars shall be iron and brass. But in either way, it is speaking about fortitude. Either fortitude within the fort and the bars, which protect, or fortitude on the shoes upon the feet. One way or another, we've already spoken about, of course, the Roman army. And they were fortified in their fortresses, but they were also fortified in their armies as they marched. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. So the Lord gives us shoes of strength. Shoes of strength. Put off the shoes which are man-made, and put on the shoes of strength. Translate that, move it across a little bit, and consider this verse from the New Testament. Put off the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Putting off the old man, putting on the new. And that's the theme, isn't it, of Scripture. Putting away that which is worldly and earthly and weak and sinful. Putting on that which is heavenly and mighty and righteous. The Lord has called us to such a thing. And then also it says, and as thy days shall thy strength be. I wonder, I was thinking about Anna in the New Testament, and she was of the house of Asher, if you remember. And that was one who was had been 80 years in widowhood. And so certainly she lived to a great old age. And it just occurs to me that maybe why she was particularly there, or particularly thought about to be recorded in the Scripture, is this verse. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And there she was in her old age, glorifying God. And certainly the strength remained with her. But the Lord does not depart from us. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. And whatever our age or whatever our service, the Lord does not leave his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the shoes of separation then, the shoes of strength, and then finally the shoes of service. And we turn over to Ephesians in chapter 6. And we read there in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation or readiness or preparedness, as the margin has, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shoes of service. Note that we are shod with preparation. It doesn't say your feet shod with the gospel of peace and being prepared, but shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And we are to be prepared. And how are we prepared? Well, we could go back to those other two verses and say, first of all, we're prepared by putting off the old man, by putting off the shoes of man's strength and our own strength off our feet, by the blessing of God in the shoes of iron and brass, which are given to us, so that we might traverse all lands and all problems and be protected behind the bars of iron and brass, that we might have his strength. And that preparation is given to us, a preparation of the gospel of peace. That word preparation as well, of course, we usually think of it as evangelistic, being prepared to go forth and preach the gospel. But there is something more to it. It's not just the preparation to go and preach the gospel. It's the preparation of the gospel in us. We have been prepared by that good news. We are prepared for the inheritance which is undefiled and that passeth not away. That gospel prepares us. We are prepared to stand in the presence of God. Our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's very, very important. And we need to know the gospel. We need to think upon the gospel. You know, sometimes in the practicalities of preaching and of putting out the applications of the scripture, we can miss the application of doctrine itself, of who Christ is. And that can be as much of a strength to us as the preacher standing and saying, well, in this situation you should do this, and in that situation you should do that. Knowing Christ stands us instead, whatever the situation. We were thinking in quite a complex way, I confess, this morning about the priesthood of Christ. And it is a wonderful and a very deep subject, and we only really scratch the surface, and sometimes scratching the surface just brings more confusion because there's no depth to it, and it just scratches on the surface. But nevertheless, here is this wonderful doctrine of the priesthood of Christ, of his preparation for us and his continued prayer for us and supplication for us and the work of redemption. We need to know those things. That is the gospel. That is upon the ground upon which we stand, where the Lord says, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. And the Lord is holy. We are brought into that preparation by that preparation of gospel, as shoes of service. And preparation then, and then also propagation, because obviously if we have shoes upon our feet, usually that means we're going to go somewhere. Most people don't wear shoes in the house. Some people never wear shoes in the house. Some people insist that shoes are taken off in the porch and they are left there. And some people will have slippers in their house, and some people just go about in their socks, and all kinds of different ways, of course, of living at home we might do. But nevertheless, don't usually put your shoes on in the morning to walk about the house. So it gives us this thought in the preparation of the gospel of peace, of going forth. And yet, that kind of cuts across the 14th verse, doesn't it? Because it says there, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it also says, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, to stand. Verse 13 at the end. And stand is not going forth. And yet there is a preparation to go forth. You see, we should be always ready for the opportunities which the Lord has given to us. Oh, we're so often not ready. And when the opportunity comes, we miss it. We weren't thinking in the sense of the gospel. We weren't thinking of that opportunity which might arise to speak for Christ or to bring the knowledge of the Lord into the conversation or the situation. The Lord was not in all our thoughts. But we should be in preparation. We should always be prepared. We should have a readiness to give a reason for the faith that is within us. And so that takes us to this propagation thought, this preparation of the gospel of peace. We're prepared because the gospel has come to us and we've understood it and we've trusted in Christ. But now let's tell others. Takes us back to Asher, doesn't it? That he may have many children. And we desire to see salvation. We desire to see children, so to speak, being brought into the church of Christ. They may not come in such a way as we can say, well, yes, I led this person to Christ and that person to Christ. But when we get to heaven, what a wonderful thing if the Lord can say, well, this person came to Christ. And a part of that person's journey to trusting in me was something that you said to them. And I wonder how many things that we have said to people. And it was just a phrase. It was just an action. It was just an attitude. It was just a prayer. And it was only a part of what the Lord used, but nevertheless he used you, and nothing is forgotten. Nothing is forgotten. God doesn't pass over those things. You might say, well, I've never actually led anybody to the Lord. And some people measure themselves by how many people they've led to the Lord. But we can still have had a part in the salvation of souls. And we need to keep that in mind. And that we should give our testimony of the gospel of peace. And then, of course, in these shoes of service is the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. And peace is, of course, first and foremost, peace with God. But we're also told in the scripture, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. And as I have interpreted that to you in the past, as it lieth in you, be at peace with all men. Don't you be angry. Don't you cause the problems. You be at peace with all men. As much as it lieth in you, it may not be able to be at peace with all men. It could be that there is a violence determined against you and there's no peace to be found. But let it be the other person. Let it not be you. As much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. And we know that even the Apostle Paul and the Christians of his day weren't at peace with all men. They were persecuted, they were cast into prison, they were beaten, they were fed to wild animals, and all kinds of things were done to them. They weren't at peace with all men. And that's not what Paul was saying. But Paul was saying, as much as it lieth in you, you be at peace with all men. And it's a gospel of peace. And we should be able to glorify God even in our attitudes to the things and to the people of the world, that we should be at peace with all men. These things, well, they're very simple, but nevertheless beneficial to us. And sometimes we don't necessarily see the benefit of things, but we can remember on occasion strange things such as this. And I trust the Lord will bring these thoughts back to us in certain situations. It reminds me of a joke which I heard where someone says, I didn't think orthopedic shoes would help me, but I stand corrected. And we can be corrected, of course, by the word of God. And the Lord can guide us in all of our ways. Put off the shoes from off your feet, the shoes of separation. Be blessed with the shoes of strength that the Lord gives. And be ready in the shoes of service to honour him, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are able to come before thee this evening. And Lord, we pray that thou wast bless our hearts, that thou wast guide us and direct us. Help us, Lord, to take off our shoes and not to stand in defiance against the Lord, but Lord, to yield to thee, that we might have that personal and intimate communion with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wast indeed bless us with shoes of iron and brass, that we might be able to stand in these days and know the protection of the Lord and know the strength of the Lord also. And we pray, Lord, that we might be at all times prepared for all eventualities, the gospel of peace, for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of souls, and for the increase of thy children, that there might be great joy in the day of the Lord. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.